So a ministerial colleague of mine once observed that there's something about men when, you know, they kind of feel a surge of emotion when speaking. She's talking about, you know, men, male pastors, that they have a tendency to choke up. And dang, if that isn't true. So I say that in advance of what I want to say first. And there it goes. So this is my last sermon here at UCS. I'll be in a few more services on May 28th in particular, when Reverend Anya and I will do a Q&A style sermon. So I'm looking forward to that. But this week definitely feels like a milestone, the beginning of goodbye. So I'm sure I'll say this again later, but I want to say this now, if I can get the words out. I am grateful for the opportunity I've had to be in ministry here. I am grateful for the opportunity I've had to be part of this community. And I am grateful for the opportunity I've had to learn from you. Thank you. Now, my first sermon was on September 27th, 2015. And that week, I reflected on what does it mean to be an intern? And what does it mean to be a learning congregation? Actually, you know, it's funny. I once heard, I can't remember, some senator speak, and a cell phone rang. No, it's all good. A cell phone rang. And well, he happened to actually have a patent that was one of the first patents for cell phone ringing. And so he said whenever he heard a cell phone ring, what he heard was, ka-ching. If we could all be so lucky. Anyway, so that week I reflected on what it means to be an intern and what it means to be a learning congregation. And what I talked about was the idea of a covenantal relationship, a covenant based on shared learning. I said, and I quote, "If we come together with open hearts and open minds, we are bound to learn from one another, learn from each other's stories, benefit from each other's gifts." And for my part, that has proven to be true. Over the last 2 years, I have learned so much about the day-to-day work of the ministry, leading worship, providing pastoral care, working with different ministries across the congregation. All of this experience has been valuable. But above all, I have deepened my understanding about what it means to be a faith community, about what makes a faith community thrive. And that's what I want to focus on today. I want to share just some of what I've observed during my time here, some of the insights that I'll take with me as I continue my ministry. And I'm also mindful that with Reverend Anya's departure, this community is entering a time of transition, first in working with an interim minister, and then in calling a settled minister. New people will bring different perspectives and different gifts. A lot might change in the next couple years. And I suspect that a lot won't. The real strength of this community, the particular gifts that makes this community thrive, they don't come from the minister. They don't come from the staff. They come from you. And the first gift I want to talk about is hospitality. This is something I have heard again and again from people visiting here. What a warm and welcoming place this is. Visitors often express that by saying, "The people here are so nice." Have you heard that? I've heard that so many times over the years. And that's certainly true. This community has its share of nice people. Nancy. But being hospitable requires more than being nice. Being hospitable requires attention to detail. I've told you before how I love coming here early on Sunday morning, getting here at 8 or 8:15, because I begin to see the volunteers arrive, and they begin to prepare this place for Sunday morning services, starting the coffee, straightening up the sanctuary, setting up the fellowship hall, folding the orders of service, getting the RE rooms ready, making this a welcoming space. And when people do begin showing up for services, there's a greeter looking out for them, getting them oriented, giving them name tags. And that's when the niceness kicks in. Because when people are wearing visitor name tags, you talk to them. One of the first things I learned when I began the ministry is my minister said, your job after the service is look for people with visitor name tags and go and make sure they feel welcome. That is never an issue here. Sometimes I don't even get to talk to visitors because they're so busy talking with other people, and that is a beautiful thing. But I've also seen a deeper form of hospitality here. We hear it each week when the worship associate or board host reads the welcome. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, whatever your identity, age, ability, or history, know you are welcome to bring your full self here. You are welcome to bring your full self here. That's the commitment that you make as a congregation. And I've seen that commitment around theological issues. This congregation, like a lot of congregations in Unitarian Universalism, has people all along the theological spectrum, from pagan to theist to humanist to atheist. In some congregations, this becomes a point of tension, especially around the religious language that is used in services or used in small groups. But that isn't so much true here. More often than not, you honor those differences. You recognize that even if some religious language may not be meaningful to you, you realize that it's meaningful to other people. That is hospitality. And that makes it easier for people to find a faith home here. I've also seen a commitment to other more challenging forms of hospitality. It's implied in that phrase, whatever your identity. And it's incorporated in the vision statement that you adopted at last year's annual meeting. That statement envisions UCS as an evolving community, breaking barriers to expand inclusion and representation of diversity in all its forms. This is not easy work. Right now, our denomination as a whole is wrestling with recognizing and removing those barriers, those systemic issues that seem to privilege some people and disenfranchise others. There is much work being done, not only at the denominational level, but in congregations across the country. And if we've learned anything so far, it's that there's so much more work to be done. There is so much more work to be done. But during these last 2 years, I've seen the intention that you bring to this work. Last year, the Journey Toward Wholeness team organized a 6-week class around the book Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates. Michael Masiak and Rhonda Patterson led some very powerful and difficult conversations around race and racism. And in recent months, JTW has been discussing how to help this congregation continue this work, to help you realize your vision of being truly inclusive, open to diversity in all its forms. And as I said, your vision statement describes UCS as an evolving community. But you know, sometimes faith communities evolve through no choice of their own. They evolve because the broader culture evolves around them and they just sort of go with it. But here you have the opportunity as a community to evolve with intention, to become the world that you, to become the change that you want to see in the world, as Gandhi put it, and to be transformed individually in the process. Now, a lot of what I've talked about so far is how you're building community, how you're making people feel welcome here, and that is vital stuff. But it would be pointless if people did not feel nurtured and cared for here. And when I say cared for here, I mean cared for by the community, not the minister. Without a doubt, the minister plays a vital role in pastoral care, especially during times of crisis. And you've been fortunate to have Reverend Anya, who has such a loving pastoral presence. But you're also fortunate to have one another. As part of my internship, I've attended the monthly meetings of the pastoral care team. And this is a group of people who work with Reverend Anya to support congregants during times of need. And in the first few meetings, I noticed that we would begin by talking about the care that the team was providing to congregants. But very quickly, we would change to talking about the care that congregants are providing to each other. And I was kind of puzzled by this. I wasn't used to that. But the longer I was here, the more I understood. Like Reverend Anya, the pastoral care team is there to step in when needed. But a lot of pastoral care here involves congregants taking care of one another, providing meals or rides or childcare, sharing insights from their own experiences, or just offering a few kind words or sending a card. You see this most readily during a crisis, for example, when Nikki Long and her family were struggling as Nikki's husband was struggling with cancer. But that same loving concern that we saw then, it's always at work in this community, often without any direction from Reverend Anya or Bonnie. And there's a rhythm to it. Sometimes people are caring for others, and then at some point, people will be caring for them. And then later, they'll be caring for others again. When I saw this happening, I thought of a phrase I learned in my church history class at seminary, a priesthood of all believers. Have you heard that, priesthood of all believers? This is Martin Luther. So he started the Protestant Reformation. And by this he meant that a priest, a minister, isn't that much different from anyone else when it comes to doing the work of the church. We all have the potential, you might even say we all are called to be ministers to one another. And you are living proof of that. Now, everything I've talked about here, the hospitality, the commitment to inclusion, the shared ministry of pastoral care, all of this is part of the culture here at UCS. Working with Reverend Anya, I've seen how she has nurtured that culture, in part by providing the vision, and in part by tapping into the ideas and energy of people in the congregation. This is one of her gifts. And again, you've been lucky to have her as your minister for 10 years. But when she leaves, she is not taking this culture with her. This is part of who you are now. It's woven into your community. And you will continue to learn and continue to grow. Your interim minister and later your settled minister will bring their own gifts to this community, and they'll help cultivate different parts of your culture. And this is good. This is the nature of a thriving faith community. It is always learning, always evolving. And really, it's not that different to what happens to us as individuals. I've spent nearly 2 years here, and during this time, I have deepened my understanding of the ministry. I've learned new skills. I've developed a stronger sense of what my strengths and weaknesses are as a minister. You might even say I've discovered who I am as a minister. Truly, I have been transformed by this experience. But it's not as if I lost who I was before. Instead, I would say I've been enriched. I am so much more than I was when I arrived. And for that, I am grateful. And that is what I wish for you. Your congregation is such a treasure. It is such a treasure. in the years to come, may you hold on to the gifts that make you the community you are. And along the way, may you discover new gifts and become so much more than what you imagined you could be. May it be so.